Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. Speaking of these kinds of high-profile episodes, strategy of tension. People don't understand. You know, I was thinking about it over the weekend. We hear about cortisol on this network. I feel like, you know, that's sort of where we're at. Maybe we can be hardened in our resolve to be steadfast and resolute. I had some suggestions in the December 30, 2019 broadcast. I think I'll come back to those. What I would call an idea for the antidote. Some thoughts, just some food for thought. And when you see the pressures that are being brought to bear on people in spite of, you know, what we feel, what we're being led to believe in Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society fashion, you know, that even though all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they're so. Speaking of mass persuasion, Chapter 3, Scientific Technique and Oligarchy. You see it all around, I think, the pressure and this, sort of insanity. Every once in a while, you'll see an insane sort of outburst. And so I think that's part of what gives some legitimacy to, or an air of legitimacy to, these high-profile strategy of tension episodes. Every single time. Well, we're still looking for a motive. You know, it's hard to find unless the suspect wrote something down somewhere, you know, and every once in a while you see that's completely contrived. Nope, we have a note. See, it's right. And those have never been faked in history. Well, qui bono? I mean, who would fake a note? I mean, who benefits from that? That's a good question. Start by examining the strategy of tension. So, and, you know, Operation Gladio and those kinds of efforts. Operation Gladio B seems to be a fact of American history, and yet how many people know about it, let alone understand what it means? So, from the Oracle Illusion entry on cortisol, the Wikipedia entry for cortisol under the section titled Stress and Mood, it reads, sustained stress can lead to high levels of circulating cortisol, which can create an allostatic load. An allostatic load can lead to various physical modifications. Yikes. Not conditions, modifications in the body's regulatory networks. That doesn't sound good. Changed patterns of serum cortisol levels have been observed in connection with abnormal ACTH levels, adrenocorticotropic hormone, mood disorders such as major depressive disorder, anxiety disorders, psychological stress. And physiological stressors such as hypoglycemia. Who knew? Physiological stressors such as hypoglycemia, illness, fever, trauma, surgery, fear, pain, physical exertion, or temperature extremes. But don't worry, there's a shot for that, right? And for, you know, the elderly, there is, what is that? Fluzone high dose. That's what it is. Superior protection. We gotta play that commercial. Side effects may include death, but hey, I mean, death is better than the flu. Oh, wait, maybe not. Tell your doctor if you're allergic to the high dose Fluzone. How are you supposed to know if you, anyway? logical fallacies, circular reasoning, and so forth. So continuing, stress and mood under cortisol. Cortisol levels may also differ for individuals with autism or Asperger's syndrome. Of course, you know, speaking of the shots, sometimes those things play together. Also, significant individual variation is seen, although a given person tends to have consistent rhythms. So spikes in cortisol, which can be brought on by stress, are, you know, prolonged, sustained stress can lead to high levels of circulating cortisol, as the entry points out. And that's not a good thing. It's harmful. So maybe it'd be a good idea to understand these things that are happening and maybe start to reverse some of this bad stuff that's being brought to bear on the general public. All right, so back to the hidden persuaders, and then back to Katya Sedgwick's article. Actually, I was thinking we should play that opening segment of Adam Curtis's Happiness Machine, Century of the Self, Part 1, Happiness Machines, because in Part 1, the opening segment, he talks about, Adam Curtis talks about Edward Bernays' he gives, you know, some very provocative examples, you know, from the Wilson era, the Wilson administration, to, you know, torches of freedom. And, you know, speaking of that, looking at Edward Bernays' Oracle Illusion entry, the Wikipedia entry, is very fascinating. Just, you know, of course, Torches of Freedom is one of the notable clients and campaigns, that segment. Lights, Golden Jubilee. I mean, a guy who helped create banana republics, for Pete's sake. Citing works of writers such as Gustave Le Bon, Wilfred Trotter, and Walter Lippmann. And his own double uncle, Sigmund Freud, he described the masses as irrational and subject to herd instinct. So let me ask you, if we put Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud, Gustave Le Bon, Wilfred Trotter, and Walter Lippmann together, are they irrational and subject to herd instinct? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern us, as Jefferson said? An outline how skilled practitioners could use crowd psychology and psychoanalysis to control them in desirable ways. Desirable to whom? Again, we need to define terms. So notable clients, Lights, Golden Jubilee, political clients, nonprofit clients, Freud, tobacco, Torches of Freedom, Green Ball, modus operandi, and United Fruit in Guatemala. That's one of the Banana Republic entries in particular. Anyway, so, you know, Uncle Sam says, hey, we want to create a Banana Republic, but we really need the American people on board. Actually, we don't want to. United Fruit Company wants to, and so, you know, it's what's good for them is good for us. You know, speaking of fascism. So, Eddie, we need your help. There you go. Anyway, Chapter 19, The Engineered Yes, The Hidden Persuaders. After the preachers, this was pre-TBN, obviously, and so speaking of the Trinity Broadcasting Network, as I've mentioned before, isn't it curious how similar the logo, that emblem, is to the Rothschild coat of arms? I think it's fascinating to me. Continuing from the Engineered Yes, in striving to increase their penetrating powers and perhaps their own sense of importance, parenthetically, publicist persuaders turned to the depth approach. The depth approach. In great numbers during the 50s, raptly they soaked up the lore of the social scientists. These are the same folks that the Rees Committee warned us about, by the way, during the same period. The book, The Engineering of Consent, how many times has he mentioned that, Vance Packer, just in this 2 pages here? The book, The Engineering of Consent, edited by Mr. Bernays, the famed publicist, University of Oklahoma Press, 1955, is studded with references to the findings of psychologists, sociologists, anthropologists, and social psychologists. The studies of these scientists, and isn't it fascinating to think, you know, this is the 1950s, the late 1950s, and Vance Packard is saying, you know, there are thousands upon thousands of people in this industry already. It's only grown since then, the industry and the practice. And most people don't even realize it exists. There are entire fields of study, you know, educational pursuits, fields of study, and career paths devoted to this. And most people labor under the naive delusion that this doesn't happen or exist. And again, I think of Charles Baudelaire, you know, cited in The Usual Suspects, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he doesn't exist or he didn't exist. The studies of these scientists, he notes, are, quote, a goldmine of theme symbol source material, end quote, for public relations councils. Bernays explains the need to take the depth approach with people in order to give them the right attitudes in these words, to give them the right attitudes. Quote, it would be ideal if all of us could make up our own minds independently by evaluating all pertinent facts objectively. That, however, is not possible, end quote. In a later chapter, a publicist amplifies this by discussing Vilfredo Pareto's theory on the non-logical elements in human activities, and then quotes Richard Worthington's comments on Pareto's general sociology in these words. There are, in this book, certain ideas and discoveries which may be of considerable value to those who wish to modify society. Many men have tried to change the conduct of people by reasonings or by passing certain laws. Their endeavors have often been peculiarly barren of results. Pareto shows how their failure is associated with the importance of the non-logical. People must be controlled by manipulating their instincts and emotions rather than by changing their reasonings. This is a fact of which politicians have always made use when they have persuaded their constituents by appealing to their sentiments rather than by employing reasoning, which would never be listened to or at least never prove effective for moving the crowds. So, I mean, what is the, is there a directive there? Then should that, is that what we should be doing on this network? Is that what I should do on this broadcast? You know, and of course you can't let the public in on the secret. This is what you're doing, trying to nudge or shove, whichever the case. The only reason they don't shove is because people would react violently to that. They'd rather, you know, the Bernayses of the world would rather shove. So who is the dictator? Who is the tyrant? But here is the point, coming to the point of all of this. Speaking of the engineered yes, continuing, Vance Packard writes, Mr. Bernays has gotten his views published in the Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science, where he pointed out that, quote, newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. And Vance Packard also explains, citing Edward Bernays, who's sort of the godfather of propaganda, how the dialectical continuum is used, and you move people. If you want to get someone from A to Z, you don't shove them from A to Z, you nudge from A to B, from B to C, from C to D, and so on. Somewhere along the way, you know, guys like Stafford Beer have realized that control has to be built in, and so you want to do that and have them doing it themselves, which is where Rand Corporation game theory comes in. And then you can have the rat steering himself through the maze to the cheese, thinking it was his idea all along. Most people don't realize they're being manipulated like a rat in a maze. So, all of that to get back to Katya Sedgwick's article, No Hallmark Movies Are Not Fascist Propaganda, published a couple of days ago, New Year's Eve, 2019. So, she writes, Amanda Marcotte seals her case with the controversy that erupted when the channel rejected an ad featuring a lesbian kiss. And this is precisely why I think of Vance Packard citing Edward Bernays saying newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. So what do you suppose the reaction to a lesbian wedding ad would be on the Hallmark Channel? And if you're, again, like I said the last time I talked about this, if you are if you're an executive at the Hallmark Network, do you really want to alienate your core demographic? I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine from a purely business standpoint, you want to maintain viewership to be able to sell ads to. Someone said, hey, we have this wedding ad. What is it? Tell me about it. Well, you know, two women are getting married. Wait, hold on. Say that again. Well, two women are getting married, and then, you know, and so it's, you know, the Zola platform, the wedding platform online. And so, you know, these two women are getting married, and, you know, they kiss at the end of the ad. No. Your platform, it caters to, you know, everyone, basically, including what, you know, some folks pejoratively refer to as the heteronormative community, as though that were the outlier and the exception, when it is still far and away the rule. Anyway, yes, of course, the platform caters to those folks too. Okay, well, maybe do that for the sake of this demographic. I mean, obviously you can run the ad wherever else you want the way that you have it, but could you maybe just do this so, you know, we don't have a legion of viewers up in arms, the fascist soccer moms who wouldn't want to upset them. I mean, I would imagine a Hallmark executive, somebody somewhere would say, nah, we can't do that. So did it show up this way to influence, or as Edward Bernays put it, as Vance Packer quotes, to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions? And that along a dialectical continuum to create a reaction to which there was a response? Just a question. We'll be right back.
Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. All right, let's get into this. Enough Bernays. So, continuing. I mean, hopefully I'm done beating people over the head with the point. I can't imagine that the Zola ad showed up by accident and that there was a million moms response to it immediately, and then an immediate response to that, and then a Washington Post article, a Salon article, and several other articles. Just hard to imagine this was all coincidence, you know? I agree with Mike Rogers. The first thing you learn as a young FBI officer or agent is that there are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this. I'll leave it at that. Continuing, Katya Sedgwick writes, portraying diversity and getting political presumably would engage the real feelings of Americans. Says Mark Oat, quote, Hallmark movies, as cloying and saccharine as they are, so cloying, super sweet or excessively sweet, and saccharine, artificially sweet, I guess infer she means, as they are, constitute the platonic or non-sexual ideal of fascist propaganda. That is probably a startling statement to some. When most of us think about fascistically propagandistic movies, we think of the grotesque grandeur of Leni Riefenstahl's films celebrating the Third Reich. I'm fairly certain most people have no idea who Leni Riefenstahl was, or really what fascism represents, or the era, etc., etc. Anyway, grand but cold sweeping shots of soldiers goose-stepping and flags waving, all meant to inspire awe and terror. But the reality is, even in Nazi Germany, the majority of movies approved by the Nazi Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, were escapist and featherlight with a Hallmark movie-style emphasis on the importance of normality. So Katya Sedgwick writes, contra Marcotte, Leni Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will is still the gold standard of fascist cinema. It's glorification of the state, and this is the key. Glorification of the state and the military and denigration of the individual is what made it fascistic. And that is a very apropos point. And so you would think if there were going to be examples that were listed, it would be, you know, some of the more military themed, you know, like a Veterans Christmas or I think Love and Sunshine is another one. Operation Christmas, Christmas Homecoming, those kinds of things. There are a few, and, you know, get the impression once in a while that, you know, you get hints of this. I mean, those kinds of films would make Amanda Marcotte's point, I think, better than anything a la, you know, what Katya Sedgwick accurately points out. So continuing, Marcotte never explained what defined the fascist quote-unquote normality. But Goebbels' emphasis on its importance was merely a camouflage for an abnormal regime in which politics overwhelms personal life and the state. And again, I would offer, as I always do, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth. And he cites E.H. Carr to open the chapter. It is significant that the nationalization of thought has proceeded everywhere pari passu in exact proportion to, so to speak, with the nationalization of industry. And what are we seeing in America these days? The nationalization of thought pari passu with the nationalization of industry. Striving for equality by means of directed anything, directed economy in this case, can result only in an officially enforced inequality. That's the problem with socialism, people. Notice how the disparity just widens, and that feeds the narrative, well, we have to do something about this. We need more socialism. More socialism is the cure. Okay. How's that working for you? It just hasn't been tried, you know. Acts chapter 2 was not communism. It was the Holy Spirit. The question is always, who decides? Always, who decides? An authoritarian determination of the status of each individual in the new hierarchical order, and that most of the humanitarian elements of our morals, the respect for human life, for the weak, and for the individual generally, will disappear. You know, and the one of the paramount points that Hayek makes in Chapter 11, The End of Truth of the Road to Serfdom, is that totalitarian propaganda is all-encompassing. It has to be by nature. And that is also, I would say, fascistic in nature. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. No trophy, no flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel shaking earthquakes of doubt and
welcome
remorse.
Back.
Assail him, impale him with monster truck force.
Bottom of the second hour, this Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. Back to the article. By the way, the phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Did you catch any of the New Year's Eve celebration stuff? You know, Don Lemon showing off tattoos and just the inane nonsense. Ryan Seacrest, no offense, but you, sir, are no Dick Clark. I can't believe it's been that long since the last Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. It's interesting to me to see, I don't know, Lindsay Lohan looks like she just rolled out of bed. Everyone is just so self-absorbed. No one You know, Ryan Seacrest has a tuxedo, although it's, you know, purple. Billy Porter's, you know, bedazzled. The ghost of Liberace apparently is alive and well as Billy Porter introduces his husband. We need to, again, reaffirm terms. I wouldn't, you know, I guess the state can decide whatever the state wants, but in the orthodoxy of terminology, Billy Porter, no offense, but that ain't a husband. And so the danger, you know, people say, well, why are you such a hater? It's not that I'm a hater. It's the danger of when you start to embark down this path. Again, IX Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, the end of truth. Do we realize what the implications there are? And this is not some I don't know, some anecdotal musing. When we're talking about Amanda Marcotte's article and the prospect that Hallmark movies are fascist propaganda, that is a serious implication as far as I'm concerned. A more honest treatment of the subject is, you know, at least Jeb Lund says over at Washington Post, Hallmark Christmas movies are part of a culture war. And he says their viewers are losing. That's unfortunate for all of us in America. Not because certain people don't like other people's life choices. That has nothing to do with it. The danger is in how it results in the officially enforced inequality and tyranny that Hayek is talking about. So, the way Hayek puts it in Chapter 11, The End of Truth, while in the totalitarian states, this status of propaganda gives it a unique power over the minds of the people, the peculiar moral effects arise not from the technique, but from the object and scope of totalitarian propaganda. If it could be confined to indoctrinating the people with the whole system of values toward which the social effort is directed, propaganda would represent merely a partial manifestation of the characteristic features of collectivist morals, which we have already considered. If its object were merely to teach the people a definite and comprehensive moral code, the problem would be solely whether this moral code is good or bad. We have seen that the moral code of a totalitarian society is not likely to appeal to us, that even the striving for equality by means of a directed economy can result only in an officially enforced inequality, an authoritarian determination of the status of each individual in the new hierarchical order, and that most of the humanitarian elements of our morals, the respect for human life, for the weak, and for the individual generally will disappear, however repellent this may be to most people, and though it involves a change in moral standards, it is not necessarily entirely anti-moral. What are you saying? Some features of such a system may even appeal to the sternest moralists of a conservative tint and seem to them preferable to the softer standards of a liberal society. If you think it through, it makes sense. You can see how that might be true. But continuing, he writes, the moral consequences of totalitarian propaganda, which we must now consider, however, of an even more profound kind, they are destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and the respect for truth. From the nature of its task, totalitarian propaganda cannot confine itself to values, to questions of opinion, or moral convictions in which the individual always will conform, more or less, to the views ruling his community, but must extend to questions of fact. Do you see the danger here? The end of truth. And this is why, you know, when you see articles like Amanda Marcotte's Hallmark Movies Are Fascist Propaganda, it's ironic because, like I said before, actually her article is more of a nature of fascist propaganda than any Hallmark movie that's ever been published, as far as I'm aware. And it has largely to do with this fact that she is destroying facts and truth in her article, or at least that's, you know, those destructive forces are part and parcel to her efforts, it seems. And so unwittingly, she becomes the despot, the tyrant, the oppressor, as I mentioned previously. So from the nature of its task, totalitarian propaganda cannot confine itself to values, to questions of opinion and moral convictions in which the individual always will conform more or less to the views ruling his community. Remember, herd think, but it's beyond that now. But must extend to questions of fact where human intelligence is involved in a different way. This is so first because in order to induce people to accept the official values, these must be justified or shown to be connected with the values already held by the public, which usually will involve assertions about casual connections between means and ends. Enter Amanda Marcotte's article. Between the goal aimed at and the measures taken to achieve it is in fact never so clear-cut and definite as any general discussion of these problems is likely to suggest. And because, therefore, people must be brought to agree not only with the ultimate aims, but also with the views about the facts and possibilities on which the particular measures are based. And so it seems to me, you know, in watching Hallmark movies, they are not, I don't know, maybe to some people they're preachy, dictating values and things. I don't get that sense. You know, even from the standpoint that Amanda Marcotte points out, that Katya Sedgwick refers to, you know, a featherlight emphasis on the importance of normality. I just don't get that sense. They seem very inclusive by nature. I think they do a magnificent job of riding the razor's edge. That's just my own personal conjecture. You know, yeah, it's the same storyline in many cases, but I think they do a magnificent job of not falling into any sort of, you know, preachy camp of any sort of virtue signaling at all, in spite of like the hosts of the morning shows saying, you know, we need to, yeah, being inclusive is good. Don't worry, don't be afraid, you know, you're not going to be gobbled up. And so, again, you know, history tells us those who won't speak out get gobbled up and are those who say later, you know, I was trying to save myself by, you know, hugging my kidnapper, and it didn't work out so well. It never does. You can't negotiate with terrorists, so why try? To the phones. Tom in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Happy New Year to you, Chris. Yeah, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, I was just watching C-SPAN. They just had a thing called Zocalo. Have you heard of that? It's about an immigration thing. And they had basically having these people on there right now. It's called Zocalo. It's on C-SPAN just now. And he's basically telling you, hey, Whitey, we're going to take over your country from Latin America. But let me tell you something this, Chris. These people are not Latins. Why is the media, why are the white establishment in this country allowing these people to keep calling themselves Latin? They're not Latin, they're Hispanic. The Latins were Romans. They had nothing to do with Romans, the people out of Spain or the Latinos in South America. They are Hispanic. They're not Latin. They keep using that, oh, Latina women. They're not Latinas. Latinas are Roman women. They're Roman Italian, okay? Let's get that number one thing straight. But the guy's basically telling you, we're going to take over Arizona. We're going to take over Texas. They're going after Texas right now with these illegals. And it's not going to be the ones that are coming now. It's going to be their kids. Because they're all getting these freebies, the socialism, this communism, Bolshevikism, that these Democrats are pumping out there for all these illegals to be magnets that come to the border to sneak in here. And by the way, Chris, these people are in New York and New Jersey now getting driver's license. What do they not understand about the word illegal? They're coming here. They're illegally trying to get driver's license. And the states are going to give them license. The people, those politicians need to be arrested. I don't know why the President Trump is and the Republican Party is going to allow this, because they're going to be wiped out in the next 20 years. Forget it. There'll be no Republican Party. All the Hispanics are going to go for the freebies like the Afro-Americans, most of them. Maybe a lot of Afro-Americans are waking up now that they've been used. Okay? Lincoln was a Republican. But basically, with this immigration invasion, it ain't only from Latin, Hispanic America. They're coming from China. They're having anchor babies like mad. I mean, all over, Africans are going into North and South Dakota. You got Somalians up there in Minnesota. What is going on here? And who is behind this? Who is really behind this? What liberal mindset would want to destroy their country? Look what's going on in England, Chris. Okay? You got white English Anglo kids or Celtic kids, whatever you want to call them. They can't even get into colleges over there. They're the indigenous people in England, the whites. And they can't even get into college yet. They got to give some immigrant those college scholarships and all that. What's happened to the world here? It's upside down. And then you got these Bernie Sanders of the world that is Joe Biden idiot with his son Hunter. He's got three, had sex with the brother's wife. He has a stripper's baby. The stripper had a baby by Biden's son, Hunter. And now he's got this Jewish girl, Cohen, he married, is having a baby. It's just unbelievable what's happened in this country. And the audacity of these Democrats to allow this to pump out through Hollywood is disgusting. You know, Chris, I got to tell you, you know the Jews that made all the money for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and all that? And all these Hollywood studios back in the 1920s? You realize how conservative they were compared to these Jews today? Hello? Chris?
Well, not knowing people personally, I think, you know, that's a flurry of sound bites that I'm not sure I want to condone by answering the questions
well, you're not
out.
Chris, you're not condoning.
Hold on,
anything.
Let me answer the question, Tom. I'm going to answer the question the way I see fit, okay? Anyway, I'm not condoning all of the sound bites, the flurry of sound bites that you threw out. But not knowing those people, I don't know. You know, the public portrayal of folks does not necessarily presume their, you know, political proclivities, if that makes sense. Just because we think them a certain thing doesn't. I don't understand the point, though. I think, generally speaking, yes.
Can I give you the point then?
Hold on. You spoke for what, 4 minutes? Uninterrupted? So, I think, to your point, you know, of in terms of conservative and liberal, in terms of the way that we might think of those terms today, I understand your point. The portrayal and the general consensus being, you know, that the studio, but then again, you know, not so much, you know, there was that, what did they call that era? I always forget what it's called.
The golden age.
No, back in the 30s in particular.
I don't know what it was. The best times of Hollywood. I don't know. I can't remember, but I can just tell you this: they're the grandparents of these people who made Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and Century 20. All these studios, they were very conservative people here.
Pre-code Hollywood. That's what I'm thinking of. Right. Generally speaking, it's thought of as pre-code Hollywood. So pre-code Hollywood included some very racy, you know, I would say pornographic stuff from the major studios.
I know back in the days, Chris, back in the 1920s, 30s, even up into the 40s, the women were wearing dresses to their ankles. Okay? They were precluded by their children getting all this wealth.
If you're not familiar with the pre-code Hollywood discussion, I would maybe look it up. There's some racy stuff. I'm just going to say, you know, that's where I'm going to leave it.
Back in the days, I understand that because I was told all about that. You know, there's a lot of racy stuff. Yeah, of course there was. You had Jean Harlow. You had, you had a lot of actresses that were, back in them days, were racy. That's what the word was. They were very racy, the actresses. And the actors were kind of racy, too, in their own sense. But
I think
it is mainly,
my point, Yeah, well, we'll come back to that when we come back. We have different ideas about the same kind of thing, I think, but we'll talk more about that after this break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour. We're on the phones with Tom in Florida. Tom, the way I see it, we see kind of the same thing from different viewpoints. And the way I see it, Hollywood was always intended, you know, it was always run by lascivious types. It was always intended to create, to sort of promulgate degeneracy in America. And it was the general public who were far more conservative, not the studio heads. And the general public's reaction was, you know, to pre-code Hollywood, for example, was to recoil in horror, basically, at the kind of, you know, promiscuity that was being pumped out of the studio houses. And so what happened was the same forces adopted more of this reflexive policy now, the communitarian approach. And you see that in all kinds of examples that I mentioned from time to time, like the Union Jack talking about, you know, Christianity not being conquered by persecution. So what we're going to do, from the prologue of the Union Jack published back in 1971, seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many great persecutions, but from them instead the impetus to fill the whole earth, the workers of wrath have attacked the conscience of the world by fabricating a counterfeit Christianity. More deceptively, however, they have added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, quote-unquote, which it's not, the reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state in the name of Jesus Christ, like Jesus said, many will come in my name. Americans would be surprised to learn that America is being used as a major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. In this, it is this spiritual communism in the guise of Christianity that is to emerge as the crowning achievement of world revolution. Anyway, it's that kind of thing. Infect the host with the parasite. And, you know, the same stratagem, I think, is outlined in Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. Richard N. Gardner's Hard Road to World Order, when he quotes William James, a great booming, buzzing confusion, he said, the old-fashioned frontal assault is not working. We have to do the end run on sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece. And we need this great booming, buzzing confusion to distract people as, you know, a form of misdirection, basically. The Frankfurt School, all these guys have said the same thing. And they wanted to do the same thing all along. The public just wasn't ready to accept it, so they had to do it incrementally, boiling the frog 1 degree at a time. Anyway, that's the way I see it. We'll talk more in the third hour coming up right after this short break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.